Open the door and step inside to a world of practical magic, where we blend the mystical and mundane worlds of the everyday witch. Presented by Wise Woman Witchery and hosted by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis.
Welcome to The Witch Next Door. I'm Emily.
And I'm Veronica.
And we are going to tell you about something really interesting today. Maybe.
Super, super cool. And
controversial. Controversial.
I was going to say, yeah. It is controversial. Controversial. Wow, now it even sounds really strange. The more
now it
I
sounds
say
worse.
It.
I know. Stop. Yeah. Don't say it anymore.
Okay.
I won't either. There's some disagreement about the thing we're going to talk about.
And that
out
is
in the world. Ley lines.
Ley lines. We're going to talk about ley lines.
So where did you first hear about ley lines?
You know what? I heard about ley lines in relationship to sacred sites. So it's almost like, I feel like in the pagan community, it's just like, and I could be making a huge generalization. Coming into this community, just kind of like, oh yeah, everything's sacred. It's all lined up. all those sacred sites, of course, are on energy lines. And so I don't know if you, what you have, Emily, but like based in some sort of science, but like, it's based in like possibly other things. I've got some research. I know you have some, but I'm just like, yeah. The more I read into it, the more I was like skeptical. But also deep inside me, I'm like, I know it's real. Because I believe in energy. And I'm like, yeah, of course it makes sense that like, things would line up, or you know, people would think about putting like special stone circles in, you know, a place that feels, you know, like it lines up with the sun or a seasonal, or you know, and yeah. So
yeah, I first heard about ley lines in England, actually, on a tour. My mom and I had gone over there. And we did a tour like to Avebury Circle and Stonehenge, all in the same day. Mm-hmm. And the bus driver was telling us about ley lines and that Avebury and Stonehenge are on the same line. They're lined up with each other. And we got to actually get out at Avebury, which is a town in England. And the circle is there, but there's a lot of stones that have been moved or used for other purposes since it was originally built. But there's this gateway to walk into it called the Gatestones. And they had the tour bus driver gave us divining rods to play with as we walked through. And he was like, you know, hold these and you walk through and see what happens. And sure enough, as you walk through, those things started spinning wide. And I was like, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So then I went and bought this book, and I think it was somewhere in England that same day, called Ley Lines.
There we go.
And by Danny Sullivan, which is also funny because my best friend in middle school was named Danny Sullivan, but it was a girl and it was spelled with an I instead of a Y. Danny, if you're out there, hi. Hope you're doing well.
Couldn't have been a coincidence. No way.
I don't know. Yeah. But I got this book, and I actually don't know that I ever read it. I'm going to be really honest with you. It has been sitting on my shelf for 20 plus years. And wow. When Veronica was like, hey, we should do a podcast about ley lines, I'm like, oh, I totally have a book about that. And I pulled it out and I'm like, I don't know that I've ever cracked this, actually. But I do have a bookmark in here for the Stonehenge Finest Milk Chocolate Bar. Apparently, I bought it Stonehenge from 2000 and, well, I guess it was 2001 because it's best before 1-03-02.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That was a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sidebar. But and that's British, so maybe it's, when did I go? I don't even know when I went with my mom.
It's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. Long
it's time definitely ago. Been over 20 years. Yeah.
Maybe 2000. But anyway, so that's when I heard about ley lines. That's when I experienced ley lines. And then in my mind, I've just always had this thought that, oh yeah, there's these energy centers that move, that, mm-hmm. you know, are like lines through the earth, and sacred sites were lined up on them. And I just sort of took that as like, yeah, it makes sense.
Same. Yep. Totally. Yeah. I'm just like, oh yeah, of course. Why wouldn't there be?
Right. That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So apparently it doesn't make sense.
I know. So this is the crazy thing. Okay. So I went on BBC.com. I don't know what you got, but I went on BBC.com and apparently they say that ley lines was actually coined by a man named Alfred Watkins only 3 years after World War One.
Yeah, he wrote a book in 1921, I believe it was. Or 1921.
Yes, he wrote a book called The Old Straight Track.
Yep. I was reading all about that in my book that I finally cracked open.
Yes.
Yes. So he wrote that book. Oh, 1922. He wrote that book, or it was released anyway. And his theory about those ley lines was not necessarily that they were energy centers. I mean, that sort of started to play into it, but it sounded more like it was about these lines were actually ancient roads between sites.
Yes.
Like prehistoric roads was his theory.
Yes, because he said that the pre-Romans that lived there, like before Roman times, that they figured out that the quickest way to get from one place to another is a straight line.
Right.
Get it? The old straight track. So I know, so funny. So you can actually lay a line and you would walk straight from one, you know, let's say a holy well straight, and you might hit a mound straight. You might hit a standing stone straight. You might hit a crossroads straight. You might hit a cross, like a stone cross, or
So that was his theory, and that was his book. And there's a lot that's come from that book, but I want to backpedal for a second, because if you go back to 1911, there was a book called Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries. And in that book, they actually talked about the fae folk, and they suggested that there were fairy paths all over that were actually arteries of Earth's magnetism.
So I love that you brought this up. Go ahead. Keep going.
That's really all I wanted to say. Just that here is, again, another idea that there's this energy in the earth that creates these sort of veins upon which, in this case, supernatural, quote unquote, fairies are cruising around. And that is their, you know, I guess you could think about it as portals, right?
Totally. And I will second that, because in this BBC article, they also noted that as well. That the Irish, so they actually wrote like a list of different cultures. And the Irish believed in the fairy paths. The Chinese believed in something called dragon lines.
Oh, yeah.
The Incas in spirit lines. The Aboriginal Australians in dreaming tracks or song lines. So like, this is the other part. So this is the other part of the research, which made me think, okay, well, I want to look into these other things. They actually sound older.
Well, and I would just speak to those things could all be true. There's also this idea of the collective unconscious, where the same idea pops up across cultures at different times with a cultural spin on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we are always trying to make sense of our world. And to me, it makes sense that as a human, you might look around and see the magic that is there all around us, you know, and give it this meaning of these energy centers or road roads, if you will, roadmaps. One of the arguments about the idea of actual ley lines against them is that in Britain, which is kind of where our friend Mr. Watkins is from, there are so many sacred sites and there has been so much archaeological, you know, study done there that you could draw a straight line any direction.
Hit anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And you would hit a bunch of different places. And yeah, his theory was that these straight lines were had to have four sites on them. But making a straight line with four sites on it is kind of no problem.
Yep.
So that's one of the like thumbs down arguments about specifically ley lines and this idea of the old tracks, the straight tracks.
Yeah, it's funny. There was actually two, I don't know if I call them the scientists.
I don't know if I call them.
They're scientists. Scholars. They were scholars, 1980 okay. Scholars. This is in that same article. That they said that exact same thing, Emily. That was their argument.
I think that article was pulled from this book because I got that from this book.
It must be. So this article was November 2nd, 2022.
Okay. Well, maybe they used this book as a resource.
Bell Jacobs. I bet you. It could be that they actually cited that in the
yes. Yeah. But
so
oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that was, you know, and then led to the part of the article saying exactly what you said, that people want to look for significance and meaning in life. And that was kind of their conclusion.
Well, and that, but I think that's also the conclusion for anything that is outside of the quote normal realm, right? Mm-hmm. Spirituality, whatnot. People are like, oh, people are just trying to give meaning to things. Yeah, I think that's true. But does that make it less true? Does it make it less valid? And I don't think it does. That's my bias, by the way. But if we're talking about ley lines, I just want to also throw out there that in the 1960s, when, you know, that counterculture started coming into light, ley lines were actually, again, considered to be lines of earth energy, except that this time they were guiding alien spacecraft.
I saw that too.
But here's a really interesting take for those of you that are interested in UFOs and aliens and whatnot. There's a book out there called The 37th Parallel. I have that book too, which I also have not finished, but I did read more of it than I did this ley line book until recently, where I just read the ley line book. So anyway, The 37th Parallel is all about how there is sort of this concentrated the concentrated area of sightings along the 37th parallel of the Earth, right? And I think this is really interesting in relationship to ley lines, because our, you know, all of our lines on our, you know, those old school globes that had the lines that went top to bottom, latitude and longitude.
Do that, Emily.
I know, but who has a globe?
You
have a globe? Okay. At Veronica's house, when you go visit her, you can look at her globe. I do not have a globe, but my grandmother had a globe, but my entire life growing up, and I loved that thing. And I kind of wish I had one. Maybe I should put that.
Everybody should have one.
I think that's true. Mm-hmm. Or at least a big world map.
I know people are used to like looking everything up, but the globe is something you should have.
You know what? I agree with that. And now I feel like I really need a globe, and it's really sad that my birthday and Christmas are so far away. But I guess I could buy that for myself. I guess that's a thing I could purchase for myself. Anyway, I digress. So the 37th parallel is this line across. If you look at it on a map, it's where there has been kind of an inundated amount. That's not even the right words, but an exceptionally large amount of paranormal activity along this line, including UFO sightings. And
wow.
Yeah. So
I did not know this.
Right. So it kind of lends itself to this idea of ley lines, you know, if we want to broaden the idea of ley lines from being just lines that connect one sacred site to the next, we might think more about these in terms of those fairy paths or portals, you know, but energy in the earth that is basically drawing different things to that, or letting different things be seen, maybe that they might not otherwise.
As a person who loves to hook science up with
spirituality.
Yeah, I my science brain likes to like wants to know like what is happening with like magnetic, you know, poles, like the magneticness of our planet, like is this playing a role? Like what's happening under and in the actual earth, like physically, that may attribute to that, because I feel like as spiritual beings and physical beings, that, you know, we are attracted and to other, you know, spiritual yeah. and physical beings, or yep. vibrations or energy moving. So like, you know, this idea that like a site might be, you know, put in a certain spot because you know what it's like. I mean, when you're feeling the vibes, like I'm going to say that in a really loosey witchy term, like I'm feeling the vibes. Like I feel you know, like you walk somewhere and you're like, whoa, this place feels trippy, or like I'm feeling something. I don't know what it is, you know, that like there's something inside you that's connecting to something else, you know? Yeah. And mm-hmm. that when there's like a whole collective community that comes together, or a village or something comes together and actually builds something, it makes me wonder.
Yeah. Or is it the intention of that creation that makes that energy true?
Yeah, interesting.
Like, is it the place that draws the people there to make it? Or is it the people who make it that create? Like, because I'm thinking about like going to cathedrals when I was in England and Europe and Scotland and these places that took forever to build, you know, like generations built some of these places. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people have mm-hmm. worshipped there, but their presence there creates this different energy and vibration mm-hmm. that's sort of infused into the space. Now, was that energy there because it was the space before they built it? Or was it because of what was built? So I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it's one worth asking.
And I feel like it's co-creation. I feel like it's a co-created thing that like we do create, you know, we create energy and we create magic, and magic is there mm-hmm. and it influences us. I feel like it's both, and it's co-created, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it could be. Can we prove it? No, we can't prove anything.
I don't know. You had those dowsing rods and they were crazy. That sounds like science somewhere in there.
I've got dowsing rods now that we could play with somewhere and try out. But the thing with dowsing rods is that they are also dependent on your body. So even it's like a pendulum, right? Even if you think you're not moving, all it takes is the slightest movement to make mm-hmm. something go. I think about this in terms of like people who douse for water using tools. I often wonder how much the tools are actually finding it, or how much it is their body that just feels the water and then conducts that information to the tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, two questions, don't know the answer to them, but worth posing.
Yeah, both of those make sense to me.
I know. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so good though. This is good. Like, cause when I brought this to you, I was I don't know if confused is the right word, but like, I was curious and like, ley lines, energy vortexes. Like what's the difference? Because a place like an energy vortex feels like a magical place. It's like maybe it's Stonehenge. Maybe it's like maybe that's what it feels like. It's like a power center, and like a ley line feels like just like an actual line that holds something. But like how to distinguish the two, like is very, they're different.
Yeah, they are different.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did this because I was like, oh, now I'm more clear on that there's a difference between a ley line and an energy vortex.
Or maybe a ley line leads to an energy vortex. Dun, that, dun, dun. I don't
I
know.
I think that's where I was going with that is like, because we're talking about energy on our planet.
Yeah.
And like, I would assume that like a ley line would have energy vortexes on the line, like in different spots.
If ley lines exist, because, you know, there have been really in-depth studies that have shown, you know, where people have gone out, scientists have gone out with all their equipment and tried to measure some of these energies, you know, measuring for magnetism, measuring for different radioactive frequencies, like all that kind of stuff, and found nothing.
Nothing.
So, you know, it's all arguable. And my hunch is it's also all changeable. Like, who knows how often the Earth shifts and changes? And I don't know. I'm not the Earth.
Wait, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm made up of the Earth and the stars and the water.
And all
but,
the things. Yeah.
But I'm changeable. So I'm assuming the Earth is too.
Yeah, which means that all of this can change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very... It's kind of amorphous.
It's very esoteric too. Like, yeah, it can feel kind of astral and like,
yeah,
woo. So you can see where like the aliens came in, like that can come into play. Like I was
the
reading
fairies.
About, yeah, the fairies, just kind of like otherworldly, like beings. Because it is kind of like astral and like talking about beyond what we see. You know,
yes, totally.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So for those of you listening, note that this is the first kind of foundational podcast that we're doing, and we're going to do a little series on different places that are said to have energy vortexes. So stay tuned for that. We're gonna do some playing around here. We'll do a little like zodiac sign once a month. We'll talk a little bit about like an energy vortex. And then I think we're also going to talk about spells. Maybe throw some spells out there once a month.
Yeah.
So you can have a little spell casting in your world. It'll be good.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be very fun. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us. I just want to do a little plug here for Wise Woman Witchery, which is sort of the foundation of this podcast. And if you want to find out what's happening over there, what kind of classes are going on, what kind of workshops I might be offering, if you want to find out more about the retreat that's happening this summer, the in-person retreat, Veronica's going to come teach us some yoga, do some ritual together. It's basically going to be awesome. But that's going to be in June. But all of that information is over at wisewomanwitchery.com. So go check it out. And maybe we'll get to hang together virtually or in real life.
In person.
In person. So until next time, my friends.
Keep it magical.
Hey there, friends. Emily here from Wise Woman Witchery. If you like what you hear on The Witch Next Door, I invite you to support us. You can do that by rating, reviewing, liking, following, what else? Whatever else it is that you do on the platform you like to listen to podcasts on. By doing these things, it actually helps other people find us. And in that way, helps us spread the magic. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And thanks for being a listener. Thank you for joining us on The Witch Next Door. Join us next week as we explore more ways to make every day more magical. Can't wait? Visit wisewomanwitchery.com or follow Wise Woman Witchery on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on all current offerings and be a part of the tribe.
All episodes are created by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis. Music written and performed by Jean Cornelius.